This morning's message comes from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Please stand, if you're able, for the reading of the gospel. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And then he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to add my congratulations to the women and men of our church for the rummage sale. Very successful. A lot of work. But it's amazing to me how clean Wesley Hall is. Everything's gone. All three of your preachers are biblical preachers. We base our sermons on the Bible. Sometimes we do series, but they're still biblical. And most of the time, all three of us start with the lectionary. Now, if you've ever wondered, where do preachers get the scripture that they preach on Sunday morning? It comes from the lectionary, which is a three-year cycle of scriptures from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the Epistles, and the Gospel. I like the lectionary, partly because it pushes me out of my favorite text that I would just keep preaching and forces me to deal with some scriptures that I might not pick. Today is one of those. I wouldn't pick the scripture. I would find something else. But it forces me to deal with it and see what God has to say to us. Let's look back at it. If you can look at your pew Bible, follow along with me. Luke 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd, notice that Jesus is gathering crowds now, said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Kind of an interesting thing, asking Jesus to deal with a sibling rivalry and possessiveness. But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" I've seen some of that jockeying between children of the deceased, have you? My children have already decided that they all want the house at the lake. And I don't know how you cut a house in three pieces, but they're already discussing it. And I say, "I'm still here." But I have seen families squabbles over possessions, money, property, furniture, silverware, whatever, as they try to see who gets what. So that seems to be what's happening here. And it seems to be the first incident of greed. And this scripture is about greed. Then he goes on to say, "Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told him a parable. Jesus loved to tell parables. And I'm glad he did, because it's easier to remember a parable than just a straight teaching. So he told them this parable. A rich man produced abundance of crops. It was a good year. It must have been a lot of rain. This didn't take place in Comal County. But he had so much crops that he said, what am I going to do with all this? He said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down the barns that I have and build bigger barns to fill them with crops. And Jesus said, you fool, this very night, your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have, whose will they be? This is that you can't take it with you kind of a scripture. That you build up money, you collect things, and you can't take it with you. My mother liked $5 bills for some reason. And as they were closing her casket, I put a $5 bill in the casket. So she at least took $5 with her. But you can't take it with you. So here we see the greed, squabble in a family, a man who's had an abundance of crops, and rather than give them away, he hoards them and builds bigger barns. And then comes the last part of the scripture. So it is with those who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich toward God. That one got a hold of me. I was more interested in that one. Not rich toward God. What does that mean? What could that possibly mean? My father, who died way too young at 54 years of age, his favorite hymn was, Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown? And he was thinking about, will God notice when I have served Him well? Will there be stars in my crown? Well, I think we need to look at that scripture and see it in a different way. We cannot take it with us, and we cannot gain points with God. We can try, but our sin is so great that we wouldn't be able to gather up enough points to pay Him off, to give us eternal life. We can't buy salvation. Salvation comes as a gift. And Christian people accept the gift and respond to it. God has already given us more than enough richness toward Him. All we need to do is accept it and not try to earn it. We seek to please God in not being good people, but accepting His love. You see the difference sometimes. People who are working their way to heaven, doing all sorts of good things to gain points. In that situation, who's got the power? We do. But I believe God has the power. And God chooses to love us, to save us, and when we accept that, we live a good life. Someone who says, love God and do as you please. Because what you please, when you love God, will please Him. That's the way that we have riches in heaven. By doing, accepting His love. I took two of my grandchildren to Pistol Pete's, or Peter Piper it is, Pizza Place on 35. When you go, take a lot of money. And my two grandchildren, my two oldest, I was watching them, wondering what they were most interested in. Was it the games? No. Guess what they were most interested in? The little tickets that come out of the machine every time you play something. And so they try to find the game that gave the most tickets. And what do you do with the tickets? You take them to a gift shop and you cash them in on various toys, cheap plastic toys. So there they were, running around, getting as many tickets as they can, competing with each other. How many did you get? I got this many. And then they got the delight of the day to take them and cash them in. I see that sometimes in you and I. We do things to get tickets. And our tickets is salvation and heaven after we die. No, no. We don't buy our salvation. We don't save tickets. We do our best to respond to God's love and live in ways that would please Him. In that sense, we are rich toward God. I found the words to "Will There Be Any Stars?" It's not in any of my hymnals, but may I read it to you? I'm thinking today of that beautiful land. I reach down where sun goeth, reach when the sun goeth down. When through wonderful grace my Savior I stand, will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown, when at evening the sun goes down? When I wake with the bless of the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? In the strength of the Lord, let me labor and pray. Let me watch as a winner of souls, that bright stars may be mine in the glorious day, when His praise like the sea billows roll. Oh, what joy it will be when I see His face, living gems at His feet to lay down. It would sweeten my bliss in the city of gold, should there be these stars in my crown. We wish to have stars in our crown. We wish for God to notice us. But it's a gift. We don't have to earn it. If you and I have a crown, and if we have stars, it will be a gift. Undeserved, yet gratefully received. God loves us. You don't have to earn His love. Receive it. Share it with others. And you will have stars in your crown. I offer these thoughts in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.